The sermon text is the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The parable that Jesus speaks to us today is a long one. There is a lot in it, and it is pretty tempting to just dive right in there and start consuming and digesting everything that this parable has to teach us. But before we do that, it is a good idea to remember what it is that brings this parable out from Jesus' mouth to our lips. It is an honest question from a sincere follower of our Savior. St. Peter asks Jesus what sounds like a reasonable question. "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times." Peter is being pretty generous, don't you think? Because we all know about second chances, right? And just about everybody believes in second chances. And we've all heard of three strikes and you're out, right? But seven. To forgive the same person seven times for the same offense, that is awfully generous by the standards that we are used to, right? And I think Peter is approaching the idea of forgiveness here the way that Christians often approach forgiveness. St. Peter knows forgiveness is a good thing. Forgiveness is godly, and it ought to be abundant, and it ought to be patient, but can't go on forever, right? I mean, at some point, there has to be some kind of limit, doesn't there? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." So Jesus' answer to Peter's question is no limit. If you are thinking about forgiving your brother or sister in Christ, if you are thinking about that in terms of any limits at all, then you are approaching the whole thing from the wrong direction. And now comes the story that teaches us why. It is pretty much a fool's errand to try to take money from ancient times, currency from way back, and try to equate it to the value of modern American dollars. Having said that, a talent at Jesus' time was worth about 25 years' wages to an average laborer. So, this first amount of money that Jesus mentions in his parable, a conservative estimate of how much this would be worth would be about $10 trillion U.S. dollars in the year 2020. That is the amazingly crazy amount of debt that the servant in Jesus' story has managed to rack up against his king. And can you almost imagine Jesus' disciples having to stifle some laughter when Jesus mentions that amount of money of 10,000 talents? Because what servant in the world would ever be able to rack up that kind of debt in the service to his king? Well, as Jesus' story goes on, the answer to that question becomes pretty clear. It's us. You and I are that servant that have racked up that tremendous debt against our King, our Heavenly Father. Because every sin places us in God's eternal debt. God is holy. He tolerates no sin whatsoever. So every sin puts you in his debt eternally. And here's the thing. You and I are conceived in sin. So from the moment we come to life, we are already in God's debt, more than we could ever pay back to him for our sin. And then you have all the sins that we commit ever since the day that we were born. There is no amount of time, there is no amount of work that could ever repay God what we owe him for our sin. Which is why I imagine the disciples chuckling again when the servant in Jesus' story asks the king for patience, for more time to pay back his debt. Patience. More time. If you won the Powerball jackpot every single day, you would still not have enough money to pay off even a small portion of the daily interest on a debt that size. This is a situation where time and more work is going to make the problem worse, not better. And the king in Jesus' story understands this. He understands that the only way that this debt is ever going to be removed from his servant is if he forgives it, if he just lets his servant go. And for reasons left unexplained in Jesus' story, the king looks at this servant, has mercy on him, and simply releases the debt, lets it go. And while Jesus does not explain why the king in the story does that, we do know why our king forgives the infinite debt that we owe to him. It is because his son, Jesus Christ, paid for it with his holy life and his death on the cross. Because our king is merciful, but he is also just. So he doesn't just let sin go for nothing. Somebody has to pay for it. And Jesus paid for it with his death on the cross. He literally went through hell on the cross and paid the debt that we owed for our sin. That satisfied the justice of God. And now God looks at us in mercy. And because of what Jesus did for us, says, "Your debt is forgiven. You owe me nothing." And the important thing to remember is that this debt that we owe to our Heavenly Father is infinite. There is no amount of time, there is no amount of work that we could have ever done to pay it back, which is why God never tells us in his word, "I'll be patient with you and wait for you to pay me back. I'll wait for you to work off your debt." That would never work because the debt is just way too huge. The only way for it to be forgiven is for God to let it go in the blood of his Son. And for Jesus' sake, God does forgive the eternal debt that we owe him. Now comes the part in Jesus' story that specifically answers Peter's question. Because Peter already knows that forgiveness is good, forgiveness is godly, forgiveness ought to be generous. But now Jesus teaches St. Peter, and he teaches us that if our forgiveness toward each other has any limit at all, then it is not generous enough, because God has had limitless forgiveness for us. The forgiven servant in Jesus' story now goes out, and he finds a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii. Okay, here we go again, trying to convert this money. Okay, a denarius at Jesus' time was about 1 day's wages. So we can ballpark this amount at about $15,000 to $20,000. That's what the average American worker makes over about 100 days of labor. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody owed me $15,000, I would consider that a pretty serious debt that they owed me. And this is where people start going off track a lot of times in this parable. Take, for example, my trusty little NIV pulpit Bible that I have here. You're reading along in this story. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. You come to where it says 100 denarii, and then there's this explanatory footnote which says 100 denarii is, quote, a few dollars, unquote. So the idea there is that this servant should forgive his fellow servant because, hey, it's only a few bucks. It's not that big of a deal. It's such a small debt that you might as well just forget it and let it go. That is missing the point of this really badly. $15,000 is a serious amount of money. The sins that we commit against each other, the debts that we owe each other for those sins, they are real. They are serious. It is serious when somebody insults you. It is real, and it is significant if somebody falsely accuses you of doing something wrong that you did not do, or when someone loses their temper with you. Those things are serious. We don't forgive each other's debts because, it's no big deal. It's just a few dollars anyway. Might as well just forget about it. Well, those debts are serious, and we forgive them because God has forgiven a much more serious debt, an infinite debt to each and every one of us. So even if my sin against you does hurt you badly, right? Even if your sin against me damages me severely, we forgive each other without any concept of limits whatsoever, because that is how God forgives us in his Son. This is the truth that Jesus is teaching to St. Peter and to all Christians. Now, at the end of Jesus' story, this servant who was forgiven trillions and refused forgiveness of thousands is finally locked up until he should pay back all he owed. In his situation, of course, that would be forever. And Jesus ends his parable with this threat. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. In other words, if I want to turn toward my King in heaven and receive forgiveness for the infinite debt that I owe him, and then turn around to my fellow Christian and refuse forgiveness to him, even though he may have stung me very badly, I'm going to lose the forgiveness of my King in heaven. If I want to be that cheap about it, if I want to be that petty that I will take it infinitely but not give it to the Christian next to me, in the end, I'm going to end up locked up forever with my debt still sticking to me. And that, of course, would be hell. But I think it's more than just hell after you die. I think it is also a miserable existence before you die. Christians who refuse to forgive their fellow Christians are generally just miserable people because grudges eat away at you and consume you. Unforgiving people are unhappy people. So yes, if I want to stubbornly refuse forgiveness to my Christian brother or sister, I'll end up in hell after I die, but I'm going to start paying for it right now. With that in mind, it is a severe understatement to say that it is important for us to forgive each other. And not only to forgive each other, but to do it the way God forgives us, without any concept of limits. As God forgives us in Christ. And because this is so important, it is worth the time to define what biblical forgiveness is and what it is not. Because there seems to be this notion among many Christians that in order to truly forgive someone, in order to forgive them from the heart as God has forgiven me, you have to develop amnesia. You have to be able to erase from your memory banks what that person has done wrong to you, like Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith has to walk up to you in a black suit with that flashing pen thing and just vaporize your memory banks. And I think this comes from the old saying that says, you have to forgive and forget. And I think it also comes from when we hear Bible passages that say, God remembers our sins no more, and God forgets our offenses. Hear that and think, boy, but if I can still remember what so-and-so did to me, then I must not have really forgiven them, right? If I can still remember it in my memory, then I haven't forgiven them from the heart. Well, here's a couple of things. First of all, you have to forgive and forget is not in the Bible, okay? It's an example of one of those classic, dearly beloved Bible passages that is not a Bible passage, okay? Secondly, when Scripture says that God forgets our sins and remembers them no more, it's not like God is in heaven thinking, oh, I wish I could remember what Mike did. I just can't. No, God is very aware of every sin that we have ever committed in our lives. He forgets them in the sense that he is not going to punish us for our sins. He has removed retribution from his agenda. He is not going to punish us for our sins because Jesus already took the punishment that we deserve for us. So, don't feel guilty if you can't develop amnesia. And don't worry that you haven't really forgiven if occasionally the memory of what somebody did to you comes back into your mind, okay? As long as you have taken revenge off the table, and as long as you treat that person and speak to them kindly as if the thing never happened, then you have forgiven from the heart. You have forgiven as God forgives you. Maybe the best way to illustrate this is a story that we heard earlier in this service. I really doubt that Joseph ever forgot what his brothers did to him. People sell you into slavery. You are liable to remember it for the rest of your life. The important thing was that Joseph was in a position where he could have taken big-time revenge on his brothers. He could have squashed them like bugs. And he didn't do it. Instead, he spoke to them and treated them kindly as if they had never done what they did. That is godly forgiveness. That is forgiving from the heart. And above all else, we need to keep the forgiveness that God gives us in Christ in front of our eyes and in our hearts all the time. With God's forgiveness for us in front of our eyes and in our hearts, we won't be able to forgive anybody else any other way, no matter what they have done to us. We will forgive without limit, just as God in Christ forgives us. Amen.